I don't know if Paul Simon ever did that version, but that was awesome. Thank you. Well, I'm going to start out with a little bit of a tribute to Pastor Larry. He used to say that the tie, the length of the tie he wore would determine the length of the sermon. So I thought this morning I would wear my Mr. Rogers sweater and cover my tie. So you don't know if this is going to be a short message or a long message. Just how far down does my tie go? I hope that the message, whether short or long, is one that is meaningful. Although Judy did give me this as a reminder of keep it short. So I've got 1 minute. Yeah, 3 minutes? Oh, 3 minutes. All right, I'll start faster. Well, I'm going to start off with something that is sort of an item we just don't see anymore. You know, it's a newspaper. I saw this headline. It was called Life and Tradition, and it had a picture of this gentleman on the inside cover of the section called Life and Tradition. And I just happened to pick it up, and I saw a headline, Damon West had a perfect life on paper. A loving family, a star quarterback, a promising career. Then he got hit with a life sentence at a maximum security prison. And I thought to myself, this is a headline tease, obviously, to get you to read more, and it sucked me in. And I thought, I've never heard of Damon West. I didn't even recognize him. Who is he? What's his story? And on the inside, they have a... And for the younger folks, this is what would be on your tablet on about page 8 as you scroll through on your tablet. It had his story. And his story is one that we hear so often in communities, one of opioid addiction. He started with marijuana and then alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, and finally meth. Meth led to his continuous theft. He would steal from anyone and anybody to get goods to feed his meth addiction until he was convicted so many times they sentenced him to essentially life, which was 65 years. He's now out because he was let out on parole because of his performance in prison. He was in jail for approximately 8 years. But one thing he does is he goes around the country trying to keep troubled kids from getting involved in alcohol and dope and all the things that led him down a path of destruction. But what caught my eye was about maybe halfway through the article, he talks about his presentations. And he said, every addict must have a program of recovery, he said. That requires me surrendering to God every day. It takes that daily surrendering because that reprieve I've been given is contingent on my spiritual growth. And when you hear about so many people who have a troubled life, the ones that are able to get out of that rut, if you will, that's destroying their lives, are the ones generally that have to hit bottom, but there's a lot of people that hit bottom that never come out of it. And I don't know long-term if he will or not. We'll have to see. He's only been on recovery for a year or so. It takes a long time to break yourself from the addiction. But generally, the people that are successful at breaking free of that addiction are the ones that recognize that they have to put God as their foundation. And when they do that, all the other practical steps of recovery come to pass. And that got me to thinking about the disciple Peter. And the scripture that Phil read, oh my gosh, my time's up, and we'll end with prayer. Yeah. Here we go. Woo! 3 more minutes. What's that? So I thought about it. His name was Damon West. He's a little bit like Peter in a way. Now, Peter never had the addictions, and I don't think Peter ever fell to the levels that Damon West did. But if you think about Peter in his life, there are some similarities in that he had faltered. Now, who is Peter? Peter was one of the first followers of Jesus Christ. He was originally from Bethsaida, and he heard about Christ through John the Baptist, really through his brother Andrew. And Andrew the Bringer, as some of you may know from our Last Supper depictions, brought his brother to Jesus. And when Jesus met Simon at the time, there was something about him that Jesus recognized in his character, in his personality, in his belief structure, that Jesus gave him a new name, Peter, which in Greek means rock. He asked him later to follow him, and following the miraculous catch of fish, Peter left everything behind to follow the Lord. But Peter's a lot like all of us. We go to church on a regular basis. We pray. We have devotionals. We try to immerse ourselves in God's Word so that we can be the disciple and his face in this world. But think about Peter. There were times when he faltered. For example, it was the time when he left the boat to walk on the water to Jesus. But he started to doubt and he took his eyes off Jesus. And what happened to him? He began to sink into that water. It was Peter who took Jesus aside to rebuke him for speaking of his death and was swiftly corrected by the Lord. Peter suggested erecting tabernacles to honor Moses and others and fell to the ground in fearful silence at God's glory and was immediately told to sheathe his weapon one time when he drew it and attacked the servant of the high priest. And it was Peter who boasted that he would never forsake the Lord, even if everyone else did. And we all know the story of Peter. He later denied Christ three times. Yet Jesus never gave up on him. He saw something in Peter that he knew that he could be his rock, that he could depend on him. And there were a lot of things in Peter's life where he never lost faith. He may have faltered in his daily activities, if you will, and he had the faith to step out of the boat and walk on that water. And it wasn't until he doubted for a moment and took his eyes off of Jesus that all of a sudden he began to sink. But he was saved. Jesus knew at his core he was someone he could build his church on. So what are some of the lessons that we can learn from Peter? Number one, there is a fear. And keeping your eyes on Jesus, you can overcome all of those fears. All of us are at a time in our lives when we're in that boat and we just don't know if we can go another minute with all the pressures of whatever that pressure of life might be. There might be times when we're fearful of test results, when we're fearful of a phone call, when we're afraid of something that might come your way and you're just scared to death. But keeping our eyes on Jesus and knowing that he will never leave us and never forsake us gives us the strength to take that step, to do what we know we need to do to follow him. But we also know from Peter's story that Jesus forgives unfaithfulness, as he said when he denied him three times. Jesus knew that Peter really didn't mean what he was saying, and that he was patient with Peter, and that he needed some correction, and the Lord gave it to him with patience, firmness, and love. In Psalms, it said, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go." He's there no matter where we go and what missteps we might make, because he knows where he wants us to go. He's guiding, directing, pushing us. Sometimes we have to do a better job of listening. But we also know that God is there for ordinary folks, unlikely heroes that are around us every day. We are that. We are that unlikely hero, whether it's in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family. People look up to you. People look up to people who follow Jesus, and he knows that, and he's guiding you. So our scripture that Phil read today, at one point Jesus turns to Peter and says, "And I tell you that you, Peter, You are the rock, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed on heaven. So what did Jesus see that time when he's sitting down with the disciples trying to figure out, what are you hearing? What's going out on in the greater community? What are they saying about me? And after they told him, then he says to the disciples, how do you see me? And it's interesting what Peter responded. He said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, this was not revealed to you by man. That was significant because he knew that Peter's faith was so strong that he knew who Jesus was as the Son of God. He didn't have to have that tangible proof like a Thomas who wanted to see the scars in the hands or the slash of the ribs, that Peter, that rock, was there as a follower of Jesus. Now, some say that it's very significant who Peter was and his lineage. I don't know that that's quite as important as the understanding of how important faith is. Because your faith will be challenged. Your faith will be challenged today, tomorrow, and the future. But we have to have that faith of Peter that we can understand that we are able to overcome anything and everything in our lives. As it says in Ephesians, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. He is there for you no matter what comes your way. Now, there's a lot of secular pressures. Greg mentioned on Facebook, a lot of people are being sucked into the abyss. And it's easy to get there unless you have, as Damon West said, daily surrendering himself to God. God, help me. He called it in his article, humility. He has much more humility today to say to God, I need your help. I can't figure this out. I can't solve this. I can't do this. They're calling me to be this, be that, be this, be that. I need your help. I need your guidance. And he turns to God for that guidance. Just as Jesus turned to Peter to build his church on. The rock on which Jesus would build his church generally is identified with these three characteristics. Jesus himself, his work of salvation by dying for us on the cross. Peter, the first great leader in the church of Jerusalem, a disciple that could go out and no matter what circumstance he encountered, Jesus knew that he could count on or he could trust Peter to be the disciple he expected him to be. And the confession of faith that Peter gave and that all subsequent true believers would give. It seems likely that the rock refers to Peter as the leader of the church for his function, not necessarily his character, but for his function. Just as Peter had revealed the true identity of Christ, so Jesus revealed Peter's identity and role. Later on, Peter reminds us Christians that we are the church and that we are the foundation on which he is depending on. All believers are joined into this church by a faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that same faith that Peter expressed. Jesus praised Peter for this confession of faith, and it is faith like Peter's that is the foundation of Christ's kingdom. Now, the latter half of that scripture that Phil read talks about the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it. It means very simply that death will not overtake the church. It was the place where all departed souls go after their earthly life in the early testament of non-believers because heaven was not yet opened until after Jesus' death on the cross. When Peter died, the role of leader would be taken by another, but the office would not cease when the occupant died. This means that there will always be a visible head who, like Peter, will be an instrument of the Father's revelations and guidance, and that Satan will not be able to expropriate the office because it is divinely protected. We are all disciples, and with our death it doesn't end. It continues on through faith. The gates of hell will not prevail against our church, even if hell gets in some of us or the devil. Sometimes we can be in a state of spiritual death. We can't hear God. We don't think he has the power or authority to help us under certain circumstances. Some folks are walking around as if they are asleep and not aware of the tactics and the schemes of the devil. The enemy is trying to wreak havoc in the church on a global basis. It can happen in small ways and can happen in large ways. And it can happen in ways that are people close to you that have lost their faith and lost their way. God calls us to give them, to be that light, to bring them back on to the path of faithfulness. We can't let the devil win. We can't let the devil ride with us, because once you do, he wants to take the wheel. If you entertain his thoughts and let the devil seep into your thoughts, Scripture tells us the devil wants to start talking. He wants to take over our mouth and our actions. If you open up a window, he's going to come in the front door. The enemy will use whomever is available to wreak havoc in Christianity. He will start rumors and begin to make accusations. The devil is an accuser of the brethren. But just as Jesus said to Peter, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." It's the symbol of the authority given only to the most trusted servants and disciples. It's not an image which is foreign to Holy Scripture. As Isaiah in 22 talks about the key given to the house of David. And in Revelations, where Jesus is talking about holding the keys of death and hell. Some say the keys represent the authority to carry out church discipline, legislation, and administration, as indicated in Matthew. While others say the keys represent the authority to announce forgiveness of sins, which John talks about in chapter 20, verse 23. Still others say the interpretation of that line in Scripture is the keys are the opportunity to bring people to the kingdom of heaven by presenting them with the message of salvation found in God's Word, as indicated in Acts chapter 15. Some religious leaders of the past thought that the keys held the kingdom, and they have tried to shut people out by closing the door. But we know through our understanding of our faith, it's not for us. We don't hold the keys. Only our God holds the keys on who can get in and out of the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to be the leader and to help others find their way inside. To all who believe in Christ and obey his words, the kingdom doors are swung wide open. They are there for you and those that you bring with him. Jesus' first words to Peter were, "Come, follow me." His last words were, "You must follow me." Every step of the way between those two challenges, Peter never failed to follow, even though he sometimes stumbled. We are going to stumble on our path. There are going to be times where we trip over that rock, where we stub our toes, where we wonder, can we do what Jesus expects us to do? But just as God entered Peter's life through his son Jesus, a plain fisherman, that plain fisherman became a new person with new goals and new priorities. He didn't become a perfect person, however, and he never stopped being Simon Peter. We may wonder what Jesus saw in Simon that made him greet this potential disciple with such a new name, Peter the Rock. The impulsive Peter certainly didn't act like a rock much of the time, but when Jesus chose his followers, he wasn't looking for models. He was looking for real people. He chose people who could be changed by his love and then sent them out to communicate that his acceptance was available to anyone, even those who sometimes fail. Just know there's a little Peter in each and every one of us, that while we strive to walk that path and bring people to Jesus Christ, we try to live the life that Jesus would expect us. There are going to be times where the rock that Peter represented as the foundation of the church can be a rock sometimes that we stub our toe on. But as long as you never give up your faith and you never forget that God is always there for you, you will always be the rock on which God is building his church. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as I close out this message, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And as we come together as worshipers, we say thank you for the many blessings that you provide us. And we also know that you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit that resides in each and every one of us is there forming a foundation. A foundation that we can use to build our lives and be models for others. And we know that model will not be a model of perfection, that at times we will need correction. We will need to look for you to drive the devil away, to push the devil from our window as we shut it to keep him from getting in. But we know no matter when that time comes, that you will always answer each and every call that we have for your strength and your guidance and your love. And we thank you for the opportunity to worship you today in this house of worship. In your name we pray. Amen.